speeding. That's what professionals say in the film industry when they start recording.
Speeding? Or start film.
Yeah, something like that.
Wow.
I think it's in the radio world. I don't know what the reasoning is, but I heard it on a podcast
one time. I thought they went check, one, two, check, check, check.
Yeah, that's
check,
for concerts.
Check, three, four, check, check.
That's for concerts, I'm pretty sure. But I need to move this. Hold on. Dang it. Hold on, guys.
I'll fix it.
We ain't started this yet.
Yeah, we started. No, I thought that the antlers...
You got to fix the native sense, man.
I just fixed it.
No, the one round seduction thing, yeah. There you go. I hope the label's straight. If the label's not straight, I'm sorry, Zach. New. I worked so hard on setting those up.
Look, here's the thing.
Sit there and destroy it.
Here's the thing. I thought that my antlers of my giant public land buck were kind of in the way of my face, so I had to move it.
I mean, people don't watch this to see your face, though. They could care less.
Shoot. That's the only reason they're here is to see my face. Welcome back to the 25 Feet High Outdoors podcast. I'm here. I'm Zach Gibbs. I'm your host, co-host, whatever. And this is Kate. He's here sometimes.
I'm here every podcast. I think of all of our podcasts, I'm not here on one of them. That's because...
And I'm not here on one of them.
I was at work. I'm still trying to figure out why you're wearing that hat.
I just figured I'd change it up a little bit.
What? If you're going to change it up, hold on.
Hey, don't knock over anything else. We done knocked over enough. Watch out for them wires. Okay, we're going to be matching. Hey, you got to give the 25 high plug before you sit down.
Okay, so let me get to where people can hear me. I got to sit down. So you need to check out our hats. They went a turkey leg. Next year, we plan on having something like what we're wearing right now on our website before fishing season. That's the plan before next fishing season. But
hey, I'm down.
Check out what we currently have is our hats, linked down in the description below if you're watching this on YouTube. I guess it may be on the podcast.
I figured out how to make it link on the podcast. It's okay. The same thing as the YouTube description, so I just linked it there.
Good.
I'm pretty sure it's a link. If not, you can scroll down to the bottom of the podcast, and if it's not a link there, but it looks like a URL, aka www.shopify25 something or other, copy and paste it if it's not a link.
Yeah, so check it out. Also, our Instagram should help you get there as well. But, check out the hats. Also, we would like to thank what you see on the table, Native Sense. Check them out. They are a great company. In our YouTube, we do have a link to their website under the description. And if you're not on there, just go to nativesenseLLC.com.
I might can put it on the podcast thing as well. But
yeah, we got some of the deer urine stuff in here, but we're not gonna spray yet. But Zach, what's that smell like right there? Hold on. Let me get in front of the mic so people can hear it spray.
You know, that kind of smells like a fresh clear cut.
Yeah, that's exactly what it smells like.
Now, I'm gonna be honest. Now, if you take the pine scent and you open up the bottle and you sniff it straight from the bottle, it kind of hits you like a ton of bricks. And the first thing you think, if you're like me and you were raised on it, is Vicks Vapor Rub. And it kind of threw me off at first. And I was telling Zach, I was like, hey, man, you got to do something about this. But then I sprayed it, and that pine scent, let me tell you something, it may smell like Vicks VapoRub when it's in the bottle. When you spray it, it smells just like what my granddad taught me to do. You took a bundle of pine needles and rubbed it on your clothes and rubbed it in real good and rubbed that pine needle scent into your hunting clothes. It smells exactly like that.
Yeah,
I don't know how the concentrated scent smells like Vicks.
Whenever it's so concentrated in that bottle, it smells slightly different.
It just has a different smell. But when you spray it, I'm telling you, it smells exactly like that.
They got pine needles. Yeah, they got clear cut, which you can smell dirt, you can smell pine, probably a little bit of every other type of, well, different types of wood.
It's like if you've ever walked into a fresh clear cut in the South, like there's a different smell. Normal, like pine, like what I was just talking about, where you take your pine needles and you bunch them up and you roll them around in your hand and then you rub it on your clothes. That smells like pine needles. And it's a very good cover scent. And if you get it in a spray form, it's even better, I believe.
Yeah.
And then, but that clear cut, the strongest smell in there is like a pine tree that just got stripped, just got its bark stripped off.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way I can describe it.
And then they got, what is it called, Southern Pine?
I think it's called Southern Pine.
It's right
pine.
There in front of you, but if you,
is this it?
I think it's, yeah. Yeah, Southern Pine. Southern Pine, it smells just like pine tree. Then they got cedar and
that stuff. Like, you were doing some woodworking with cedar recently.
Yeah.
I walked into your shop, and it was like, it smelled like cedar. And I sprayed some of that in here the other day.
Yeah.
Exact same smell. It's crazy how it does that.
And they got dirt, or it smells like, you know, straight up dirt and soil.
Yeah.
And then my favorite, sweet corn. And it smells so good, literally, you want to open it up and drink it.
Disclaimer,
smells so good. Do not drink it, though.
Disclaimer, first off, don't drink it. But also, be careful on public land with it. I'm like 99% sure it's legal on public land. However,
it's an artificial
It smells
smell.
So much like corn. If a game warden walks through and gets a game cam picture, you know, sees your game cam and starts sniffing around, he might think you're baiting. Like, it smells like corn.
It smells amazing.
It smells like sweet creamed corn.
Yeah. Like, you could, I'm not even going to lie. I thought about putting it, spraying it in my truck to make my truck smell like it. Like, it smells so good. Other than Native Scents, check out Threads, Custom Bowstrings. I think you can see the banner in front. How y'all like this? We kind of changed it up a little bit.
Yeah, that's kind of our plan. Let us know in the comments or just Instagram, Facebook messages, whatever. But we're kind of trying to change up the whole studio every now and then, kind of get a different feel till we feel what's right. Yeah. And if you can't tell, sorry, I bumped your mic, but over there we have a third mic, which is not hooked up, and there's no person sitting next to it right now.
But it is ready.
It's ready for a guest.
Coming soon, we got Kurt Manning coming to join us, and we'll probably record two or three, depending on the weather, we'll probably record two or three podcasts.
Yeah, and we also have not heard any feedback from anybody in South Alabama who has a lot of success in December. So if if you know somebody or you are somebody, let us know.
Yeah, and I guess we're about to actually get started with this thing. It is 10:44 at night. I'm tired. Zach came over and he's like, "Let's do a podcast." And I'm like, "I should go to bed. I have to work more." But
sleep for the week.
I guess I can sleep more when I'm dead.
Probably.
But
that's the hope.
Yeah. So we're gonna get started, and basically, we're just gonna tell you kind of what we've been doing. We've been doing little scout and stuff.
Ready for it.
We are pre-scout scouting.
Yes. We are only 3 months away from the greatest time of the year.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's today, it is July the 15th.
Wonderful time
of the year. Today is July the 15th. October 15th is, July, August, September, 3 months.
Exactly.
Exactly 3 months away. So, it's coming. It seems like it's a lifetime away, but it'll be here before we know it, and we got to get ready for it.
Yep. And so when we say we're pre-scouting, and I had a conversation, text conversation with Kurt today about this, and it's like we were talking about how we wanted to set up cameras and stuff, but it's been so hot.
Oh yeah,
and it's been so miserable, and especially with him doing a lot on wanting to set up a lot of stuff on public land, all the gates are still closed. So
yeah.
If he's gonna go out there, he's gonna have to walk a long way.
And I know last year he was telling me that last year, I want to say it was, you know, mid August, early August, something like that, he walked 10 miles in one day doing nothing but putting out cameras.
Yeah, so I told him. And it's even kind of what I'm doing right now is putting them on the edges.
Yeah.
Like, it's so hot right now. Like, you could literally die if you went out there and worked and actually scouted. So we call it pre-scout scouting, to where we do it, we scout, but we do it lazily.
Yeah, pretty much.
And we put out cameras close to roads.
Which I've done a little bit of, like, legit stuff, but, like...
I've done a little bit, but so, not... I've done like... two cameras that are legit.
Well, that's
and
what
I've
I was
got
about
like
to say.
Seven out right now.
So. I've got four cameras that are, well, one is a little bit farther of a walk, but the only reason it's a little bit farther to walk is because I've got a tree down in the road that I can't drive over. I could easily drive over it. It's
man,
just,
you got a truck to do truck stuff with.
However, there's one stob sticking up right in the middle. And it's just big enough and just hard enough and just fresh enough. I really would prefer if my oil pan didn't get punctured by a stick. I don't know if it would. I just want to play it safe. What's another 100 yards?
I mean, you don't need oil.
Yeah, I mean.
Those trucks
it's a Ford, dude.
Well, technically.
First on race day?
Technically, it's not a Ford.
Oh, it's a Ford. It's
a Mazda.
It's got a Mazda badge, but it's a Ford. Okay. Anyway, so today I actually went out and did a little bit of scouting. What I called them when I told my buddies, I texted you. I was like, I'm going to put some feeler cameras out. So I put out two cameras today and put out a little bit of corn. Dude, I will say, before we get into it, number one, that corn vending machine is freaking awesome.
Oh, it's very convenient.
It's like you may like some days, like I went there one day and paid $5 and got 57 pounds of corn, but most of the time you get 35 pounds of corn, I think. Isn't that about right for $5? 35.
Well, I hadn't been there in a couple weeks. Last time I went, it was $1 per 7 pounds.
Yeah, that's what it
so
was today.
That's 35 pounds for $5. Yeah.
But I went one time and filled up a 5 gallon bucket and a half with $5. But either way.
Yeah, it'd be quick.
Yeah, I had to fill it. I only had 2 5-gallon buckets with me, and I had one and it got full, and I just snatched that away and grabbed the other one.
Well, I got my little 20 pound feeders.
Mm-hmm.
It takes exactly 1 5-gallon bucket filled up. So 5 gallons holds, a 5 gallon bucket holds right at 20 pounds. Maybe 22.
That's interesting, because I got 35 pounds today and it filled up a 5 gallon bucket exactly.
Well, something happened.
I don't know. Maybe I got gypped. I don't know. I just know that corn vending machine is pretty convenient. But anyway, I went out and there's one spot. Me and you walked it in turkey season, and so little bit of a crazy story. I was driving down a paved road. It's not a very busy road because it's way out in the middle of nowhere, but it gets some traffic, especially during hunting season. And I was driving down the road, and I get to a spot where you can see a dirt road that leads to some public land, and it goes up next to a section of my lease. And anyway, I look down the power line, and on that dirt road that's also fairly trafficked, I mean, for out there, there's a strutter standing there. Full strut, all puffed up and mess. And the video is actually on the channel somewhere. But from this past turkey season, I went and did the wrong thing. But at like 9 o'clock, I fired that turkey up, and I actually fired up another turkey, and I had two turkeys gobbling from like about 8:30, 9 o'clock till about 9:30, 9:45, and they were hammering. Man, I would get to cutting, and I got a hen all mad at me and stuff. But anyway. After looking back at the situation, there's this old road bed that traverses along the edge of a creek bottom that leads into this very forgotten section of my lease that nobody ever walks into. And about a week or two later, we went out there and I was like, hey, let's walk down this road and just do a little bit of looking. I mean, we had listened at my lease or something, not heard anything, and I was like, let's just walk around. Well, we walked down this old roadbed, and it was absolutely covered in scrapes. Like, every 20 yards, there was, like, a scrape, and half of them were the size of a car hood, dude. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was quite a bit.
And I was like, man, I never hunt back here, but I need to. So the first place I went today, I went back there, and well, before I got there, this is something pretty exciting for all my turkey hunters out there. I was on a section of my lease on the paved road, and I see some turkeys kind of easing off the side of the road. I get up there, there's two turkey hens and about 8 poults underneath them.
I've been out in the woods a lot. I've never seen poults in the wild. I've seen plenty of them at my brother-in-law and sister's farm.
Yeah, they got he killed a couple of his pets this year, didn't he?
Something like that.
No, nah, I'm just joking with him.
He did kill one.
He killed a couple turkeys. He killed a couple wild turkeys, but he's got some tame turkeys that look exactly like Easterns, and I kind of want to put a couple out on my lease.
It was funny. I probably still got it on my phone. I sent it to you, that video. Of course, these are farm birds, but they were raising some out of an incubator, and they had them up underneath red lights to keep them warm, and it was one that wasn't as big, like that was like the size of a baseball. I mean, a little old guy. He hatched like a week before then,
yeah.
And he was walking around those other baby turkeys and. He was sitting there, he was strutted
up.
He was puffed up, and he wasn't no bigger than a baseball around.
That was one of the cutest things. I actually saw, I think it was Mike Chamberlain or somebody, he had a post where it was a wild turkey poult that someone caught strutting. A wild one.
Really?
And it was about the same size as the video you sent me.
That's pretty cool.
But either way, I saw some turkey poults, got pretty excited, and I walked down to this section that we had walked, and basically, the way it sets up, it's one of the highest elevations and some of the steeper stuff in the area. And there's like this big hill, and it's kind of rocky and mess. But you drop off down the hill, and it's like I say, it's steep for the area. And like if you hunt North Alabama, you'd think it was flat as a rock, as you'd think it's flat as a pancake, you know. But for us, it's fairly steep. Either way, on top of the hill, the higher elevation stuff is like thinned pines, and then when you drop down right before you get to the edge of the creek, it's like live oaks, a lot of live oaks and various red oaks, and then it kind of feeds off, and there's that old roadbed, and just the other side of the roadbed is a creek bottom. And what we were seeing was there was a lot of these areas where they had thinned, and it's almost like a really wide skitter trail. Excuse me, that leads from the hill down into the creek bottom, and it kind of creates these funnels out of the creek bottom. So I walked down and found a good one, and it was like there's like a little bit of a gully down the hill, and it kind of made me think that's going to funnel deer either below it or above it. So I put corn down below it, kind of. So they're either going to come out of the creek bottom, hit that corn, and then go down the roadbed to avoid that gully, or they're going to come from either way and go high to avoid the gully and get up in the pines. Well, at first I was like, all right, I'm going to put my corn out. Or what I ended up doing was put my corn out at the low end, right next to the creek bottom, put a Tesco set on video. It's the only Tesco that I have that I know does video. So
I think they all do it,
but about 70% of them.
None of them do it great.
None of them do it great, but about 70% of them, right out of the package, don't do video.
But legit, side note, guys, if you're wanting a cheap game camera that works, I mean, we're not sponsored by them anyway, so I'll tell you the truth. They work great for 6 months to 2 years.
That's about... You can guarantee that you'll have good, or you can guarantee that they'll work for at least a year,
yeah,
most of the time.
I'd say I only keep them out for every year. I end up having to throw one away.
Yeah.
So especially for you public land hunting guys that don't want to lose much, somebody steals your camera. Walmart, Tesco, $28.88, and it takes really good nighttime pictures too.
For $28?
The picture quality impresses me. The only thing that's negative about them is their longevity, which I've only ever had one trail camera I've ever bought last over 3 years, and it was the first trail camera I ever bought, and it lasted right at 10 years, and it was the old Moultries that held the D batteries. Yep. In it.
Yeah, those.
I still have it, even though it doesn't work.
Yeah, I remember those cameras. I remember talking about longevity real quick. We had a camera. It was one of the old flash cameras, and it worked up until about 2 or 3 years ago. It probably still work if you put batteries in it. I can remember my dad using the flash cameras where you had to actually put a disposable camera in the trail camera,
mm-hmm.
and then like go get your film. What was it called? I don't know. You had to give your film done. Yeah, you had to take your film up to Walgreens or whatever. I can remember those cameras just barely. My dad had some of those, but anyway.
So, funny or cool thing about the kind of what you're talking about before when they first came out with trail cameras, it were those that you had to put.
Yeah.
Guy that my dad hunted with and my dad worked together a little bit on something and the remains of one finally kind of just brought it away that we had left. I don't know if I've ever told you about it, but they took a camera, like it was right when digital cameras became a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they took a camera and built a box around it and put a motion sensor on it and made a little arm that would press the button. And so when a deer walked in front of it with motion sensor press, now it flashed like at night and stuff. It had like a true flash on it,
and that'll spook the crap out of a deer.
But it was the first they actually made them to where it would a sensor would go off and it would press the button on the camera to make it take a picture.
But
I mean, you could turn flash off, I guess.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't get anything at night.
No.
But anyway, I walked down to this area, and like I mentioned, hill, creek bottom, log landing, or not log landing, skitter trails, thin woods, whatever, put out some corn. So there was a gully there. I knew they had to either walk below it or above it. I put the corn and the camera below it, and I set the camera on video because I'm not going to go back and check that camera for about a month probably. And my whole plan is I want to see what's kind of moving through the area. And then whenever I go back in about a month, I'm going to see if that is a good spot to hunt or if I need to put more corn out there or if I need to, like, backtrack the bucks back to kind of closer to where they come from. That's kind of what I'm thinking. But then, when I was leaving, I was like, I need to check because I know these deer are probably going to walk uphill of this gully. So I was like, I need to check up there. Plus, I need to see if I do need to climb here, which tree can I climb where I could shoot in front of and behind me. I walk behind me, and there is one heck of a trail that goes up above that gully, and right back behind the tree that I was looking at, thinking about climbing, about 10, 15 yards behind it, there was a scrape from last year that you could still see that was about the size of your truck's hood. Still.
That's pretty big. That's a big community scrape.
Big community scrape. It obviously hadn't been hit in a while, but I can imagine last, you know, January, February, it was being hammered.
Yeah. Number one thing, guys, there's no sense. Like, a lot, and this may seem like a stupid thing to mention, but it actually, you'd be surprised how many people do this and don't pay attention. Never put out a camera somewhere unless you take the time and pregame a little bit right there and look around and know that there's a tree you would climb. I mean,
that's one thing I
always look for that tree before, like, you waste your time putting a camera there. You can't go back and just randomly, you know, just pick anything that's around there, but you have to, like, when I go to put a camera out, I get my phone out, even though I know my directions of my club, I get the compass out and I look at it, try to figure out. Because, you know, October, when our deer season comes in, we're going to still be getting a lot of south winds.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now I mainly look at for south wind stuff. A little, you know, get something that's good for southeast and southwest. I try, at least. And then I'll have a spot that, you know, I'll look around and I was like, well, if it's out of the north, I can do this, or I can, you know, find a different spot.
So what's interesting about this spot that I'm a little concerned about, but it also makes me think that it would probably be, if I can make it work, be a good spot for a buck. So before I get into it, what he's saying is definitely true. Every time I walk in the woods and put a camera out, I'm looking like, if this is a spot that I'm actually going to end up hunting, I need to be able to climb here. So the first thing I look for is just like four trees for different wind directions that I can like get up in and actually shoot to that spot and a couple spots around there, you know. And then I'll like make sure, like you're saying, for the wind and whatever else. But this spot in particular that I'm talking about, I talked to another member of my club last year, and he was talking about how he was hunting in a food plot not far from there. And every time he sat there, it seemed like no matter what the wind was doing, he was getting winded. And that made me think, you know, as steep as it is and as fast as it drops off into that creek bottom, it might be one of those spots where the thermals, no matter what, the last 30 minutes, 45 minutes of the day, the thermals just drop into that creek bottom, which sets up really good for bucks, but it would be a tough place to hunt. And I'm not used to dealing with thermals. Like, we have them, but usually we have enough of a sustained wind to not really worry about it.
So scale, we're going to do a scale from 1 to 10 real quick. Scale from 1 to 10, how much emphasis do you put on wind direction?
It really depends on the spot, because
in general, that estimate them all, average them together,
6.5, 7. Because like, there's some spots where I put 11 out of 10 emphasis on wind, but then there's some spots where, like, if I have a general idea of where the deer are coming from, but I really don't know, but I know that, like, let's say I know everything behind me, there's not going to be a deer come from there. Well, then there's 6 different wind directions that I can hunt that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can't stand it. I'm sorry.
But then if there's some spots where I know, like especially where a pipeline is, if a pipeline's running through, that pipeline's going to funnel that wind so much that that one spot where I had that wide 6, and I had a couple other nice deer there a couple years ago.
The wide 6 that you killed, or the what?
No, the wide 6 that I want to kill this year that turned into a 7-point last year. So where that deer was, I was hunting him right off like 40 yards from a pipeline. And pipelines funnel wind so much that those deer know to come in right next to the pipeline, and they're going to smell everything around there just because the wind swirls so much. But you have to get off the pipeline a good ways to not get smelled. But then again, there's some situation where if you know the deer's coming from your right and it's consistently a south wind, then that wind, no matter what, it's going to be going this way on the pipeline or going that way or whatever it is. Like, just it just depends on the spot, but I'd say about 7, 6.5, 7.
Like I said, depend on the spot, but a good idea, like an average for me, is probably 5. Like, I mean, I change my tree that I climb slightly due to the wind.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, 8 out of 10 times, that wind direction isn't going to dictate me going to that spot. It's just going to change where I climb.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like I was mentioning, on pipelines, the wind swirls so much that if you're hunting within 50, 60, 70 yards of a pipeline, you're almost, like, it's very, very difficult to get out of the wind of the deer.
Yeah, so one thing that I do a little bit differently, like I said, I pay attention to the wind. But whether or not I hunt a spot, it's just, you know, the wind doesn't necessarily dictate a lot. But I will tell you the one thing I do, I change my tree depending on the spot, but I also, the worse the wind is for me, the higher I climb.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know about y'all, but I using a climber, I have zero problem climbing 40 feet up a pine tree, at least. Like, I've climbed right at 50 before.
That's a little sketchy for me.
I have no problem doing it. What's amazing is you can't get me on an 8-foot ladder.
Yeah, Cade is super scared of ladders, but he'll climb to the bottom limb of a pine tree.
You can't get me on a ladder, but I'll climb 50 feet up a pine tree in a climber.
Hey, whatever floats your boat.
But so worse the wind is, the higher I climb. But I mean, it's always safe bet to pay attention to the wind.
One thing,
we're mainly looking at, you know, setting up cameras right now. So, yeah. But always find that tree.
One thing you got to think about if you do climb super high, especially if you're bow hunting. If you're gun hunting, it doesn't matter near as much. If you're bow hunting and you're climbing 35 plus feet, or really, if you're climbing over 25 feet up a tree, you got to really pay attention to the angle when you're shooting a bow.
Yeah, that, and the higher you climb, the smaller the kill zone gets.
Yeah, because you got to think, if you're, let's just say you're eye level with a deer, your kill zone is like
pie plate.
Bigger than a pie plate.
Really, but pie plate.
That's, yeah, I mean, pie plate's a good general. Yeah. But let's say you keep tilting that pie plate towards you a little bit. It turns from a pie plate to a really skinny oval.
To a cantaloupe.
Well, cantaloupe's still around.
I know, but like the size I'm talking
what's
about.
What's the oval? What's shaped like an oval?
An oval.
The Milky Way?
A football.
A football.
That's
it. It turns from a pie plate to a football.
I'd say at 25 high, it goes from that pie plate to about a football.
Yeah.
And then from about 20 to 25, it goes from probably about a pie plate to a football. It goes quick. But as you go higher, that area kind of shrinks at a slower pace.
Okay, but eventually you get to where it's small. Shape of a cucumber.
Yeah, I mean, I have shot a deer being 32-ish feet up a tree that was directly below me. So eventually you have to just shoot through the spine, through the vitals.
If you got a really good setup and you're confident in you're confident in your ability to shoot a bow, and you're confident in your setup, I mean, you can put it where you need to be, and it'll kill the deer.
If you've never, so most setups are 25 feet high, pun intended, or shorter.
I mean, right? I usually set up right around 20 feet. That's usually my setup.
I would say the highest,
but it depends on cover.
The highest the typical person gets 25.
Yeah, usually, yeah.
The highest of typical, the. If you are going to climb higher than that and you've never done it before, get your butt out there and go climb and take a 3D target or just any target and practice shooting, because the game changes.
It does.
It from to 25 to 30, 35 feet, it changes. And number one thing, if you're bow hunting, do not flex at your arms. Bend at your hips.
Yes. And also, that's one good plug to the saddle is it kind of forces you, unless you're like one sticking or doing something crazy like SRT or whatever they call it. But like, there's been sometimes, especially recently, the past 2 years since I've been saddle hunting, I've climbed like 10 feet up and had deer like right up underneath me. And I'm not saying the saddle made me disappear. I'm just saying that it forced me to look more at cover and less at height. And a lot of times, if you can climb like 12 feet up and have plenty of cover, that's sometimes your best option. Because I've also climbed 10 feet up and had plenty of cover and had no deer know I was there. And I've climbed 20 feet up and had no cover, and every deer that gets within 50 yards picks me out immediately.
Yeah, so I'll tell you this right now. You can hunt and kill deer even with a bow 7 feet off the ground.
You can sit on the ground and kill them
if you have really good cover.
Yeah. I mean,
and you're quiet. That's not. But I can tell you this right now, pure fact. If you're 35 feet high, you don't have to worry about cover.
You don't have to worry about them seeing you, really.
You don't have to worry about cover. I have climbed 35 to 40 feet high.
Wear your safety harness, please.
Oh, yes. Do not.
All the way up, all
the way
down.
Wear your safety harness and have either it. Always, if you're hunting, and if you obviously if you don't have service, this isn't going to help. But always, if you're climbing, never hold your phone on your lap. Every time you get off your phone, you put it in a pocket.
That's when I will say, like, for saddle hunting specifically, but even like climbers or whatever, like ladder stands, I do it still. But shirts or jackets with a chest pocket,
yeah,
they are perfect for putting your phone in. Like, yeah, you text or something, you just slide it right in there, and then you can. It's like right there. It's so easy.
The reason I say that, because if you have service where you hunt, or even just, I mean, you don't need much to get a 911 call.
I don't think you even need service to call 911.
I don't know how that works.
I don't either.
So if you fall out of your stand and you have your safety harness on, if that phone was sitting in your lap and hits the ground, it's not helping you.
No, not at all.
You keep it in a pocket, you have a lot better chance of being able to get it out and making a phone call. And also, if you have one of those, I know Hunter Safety System comes with them, but they have their deer drag or suspension rope that with them
that you can tie to your waist belt and clip it on.
Yeah, to relieve pressure. Because I would say, if you fall out of a tree stand and you are hanging by a safety harness, you only have about 20 minutes before you got to do something.
Yeah,
hanging from a safety harness kill you just as fast as if you were falling and hitting the ground. You just have that 20-minute window.
And I will say, that's a good point, because like those relief straps, they're right there on.
They'll save your life.
Yeah, because. You got that? What's that? The artery in the leg that if you make a really bad shot, but you get really lucky and you hit them right there. What is that called? I've heard it the million times.
I don't know what it's called, but there's an artery in your leg.
And if you make a bad shot on a deer and they bleed really good, and you hit them in the ham and they bleed really good and they die within 20 yards, you got really lucky.
Yeah.
But you have the same thing in your leg, and that thing can get cut off of circulation.
The three absolute musts for climbing is safety harness is number one, safety suspension rope is number two, and a sharp pocket knife is number three. Because if you don't have a rope, and you don't have the rope and you're getting close to that span to where you ain't got no help right there by you, the best thing you can do is bear hug that tree and cut that rope.
Slide down that.
And slide down, fireman slide down that tree.
I mean, honestly, now that's one of the best options.
That is one of the best options. You are going to be severely hurt by doing that.
But not as bad as falling, free-falling.
You are going to be cut up all the way up and down your arms and your legs.
So I will say.
But you will be alive.
Yeah. That's one
thing. As long as you hold on.
That's one thing, like, since I've used a saddle. So, when I was using a climber, the last year I used one, I kind of got a little lackadaisical or whatever they call it, where I would often climb up without being hooked in. About 40% of the time, I'd be like, oh, this is a good straight tree. I'll be all right. I'd climb up without being hooked in. That saddle or any kind of, like, lock-on, anything like that, it pretty much forces you to think about it, because you can't climb up climbing sticks without being locked in to the tree with a lineman's belt or something.
If you're over 5 feet up a tree, it can kill you if you fall out, especially if you, especially if you're in a climber.
Yeah.
Because if you fall out of a climber, 99% of the time you're falling backwards from over the top.
Yeah.
Unless the bottom falls out.
We've talked a lot about this, and we're almost 30 minutes into this podcast. Let's get into what we're really going to talk about.
Well, what are we really going to talk about?
We're really going to talk about.
Because I think cameras and climbers is a really good title for a podcast.
It would be, but I want to talk about our dream hunts. Or do you want to talk about that later?
We can do that. I mean,
let's talk about it right now.
Oh, all right. God.
First, because I feel like this is a...
It only takes two words to tell you what my dream hunt is.
I feel like it's a more in-depth conversation with me than you would imagine, than you would think. So what is your dream hunt? Elk hunt?
No.
Moose hunt?
No.
What?
Two words. Alaskan caribou.
Okay.
That's my dream hunt.
Bow or gun?
What type of... Like, if I'm up there in the last day, I can shoot one with a rifle and I ain't kill one.
Yeah, if you're in rifle season.
That is my realistic dream hunt.
Okay, what's your unrealistic dream hunt?
Mises.
Moose?
Yeah, moose.
See, you can go to Maine and shoot one, but I understand.
No, I want like big boy moose. Like,
yeah, like if I was going to hunt a moose, I'd put in for
Alaska or... Or
dude,
Canadian.
A lower 48 moose, though. Like, I'm not talking Maine or Vermont or whatever. A lower 48, whatever. I don't even know what they're called, but the big moose. So, like, Idaho, maybe Washington, Wyoming, Montana. Those states in the lower 48 that have moose, they got the big ones. But it's a once-in-a-lifetime tag. But you're almost guaranteed a moose. Almost. Not guaranteed, but you're almost guaranteed one.
Almost guaranteed is like 3% higher than...
Yeah, because... I don't know. A lower 48...
Because you got like a 50-50 awesome chance no matter what you... When you go off, as long as you kind of know what you're doing.
Yeah.
See, so if it's almost a guarantee, you got like 53% chance.
Yeah, because like... I don't know. Like, if you hunt with Jim Shockey and you spend $40,000-$50,000
chance
of killing, and you have like about a 20-30% chance of killing a 70-inch moose, which is insane.
Yeah.
But like, I don't even know how they measure them. I think it's like the width across. Could you imagine a deer? A moose is just a deer, but really big. Could you imagine a deer with antlers that are platinumated? If you know where that's from, leave a comment. But they're platinumated, and they're what's 70 inches, almost 7 feet wide. Could you imagine a deer that weighs 1,200, 1,400 pounds, and they're dark brown, and they have 7 foot wide antlers that are flat?
We'd have to buy a bigger studio.
Yeah, we would. Yes, we would. So what's your dream hunt in the next like couple years? Like, what are you gonna do in the next couple years that's gonna be like a dream come true?
I want to go Midwest whitetail.
Midwest whitetail. See, I thought you were gonna go elk right off the bat.
Well, I won't go elk. I want to go elk, but that's gonna be a long journey. Like, I got a lot of stuff. I want to do it soon. I want to go do it. I want to go do it soon. But there's a lot of things I got to do personally to get to the what I feel like I can successfully go out. I'm not going to go out there right now because I know I would die.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is,
if I could go to like New Mexico right now and go hunt, I'd go do it. But where we would definitely have to go. We would have to go to Colorado or...
Yeah, and you got to walk. There's so much publicity over that nowadays, too, that, like, I've talked to personally guys that have been there and also, like, obviously watched a ton of YouTube videos about, like, Colorado elk hunting. Like, THP, I've listened to their podcast about it. I've talked to, you know, friends that have done it. I've talked to, or I've heard other podcasts. Like, Colorado, they're starting to hurt because of their OTC elk stuff. like for many, many, many years, we missed the curve. For many years, it was like the greatest elk expedition ever.
Well, we weren't old enough.
We weren't old enough to really go, but like still, for many years, it was like the greatest elk expedition out west. Not necessarily the biggest elk or the baddest elk or like whatever, but
they were better elk per population capita, I guess, would be a good
there was a lot of elk there.
There was a lot of elk, and there was a lot of good elk.
And there weren't as many people. And now there's YouTube, there's podcasts, there's buddies talking about
it. I'd say the outdoor and sportsman pursuit channel, really.
Well, just in general, there's been so much talk about OTC elk in Colorado. Like, if you anybody from the Southeast, just about, if you say, oh, I'm going elk hunting this fall, they're like, oh, you going to Colorado? And they're like, yeah.
I think Utah would probably be a good place to go.
Yeah, dude, I would love to go to, like...
It's slightly cheaper, but there's a less population still.
And it's... I don't think it's OTC. Is it OTC in Colorado? I don't know.
I think you can get them. I think you can get them. I researched the heck out of this, but that was been about a year or two ago.
See, I would love to do, like a Southwest elk thing. Because there's not as many elk, but they're a lot more vocal, and they get way bigger because they manage them differently.
Is any of the Pacific Northwest, any of that OTC?
I think there might be some Washington. That's Roosevelt. Well,
they have both there.
They have both, like, where I was at when I did the Washington. I would love to
kill a Roosevelt elk, but I really want to kill a Rocky Mountain elk, too.
See, Roosevelt elk, well, first off, where I was at turkey hunting in Washington... was Rocky Mountain elk populations. But then over in like Olympic National Forest, I think, I can't remember if Olympia is the town or if Olympic is the town. It's one of them is a town and one of them is a national forest. Whatever it is, it's a coastal rainforest. They got them in Washington and Oregon and also a few other places. And those are Roosevelt elk. And they get to be like 1,000 pounds, but they don't get very big antlers. But the thing is, it reminds me, watching videos of that, you pretty much have to call the elk in, and it reminds me so much of turkey hunting, where we turkey hunt. Like, especially my lease, because everything is thick. You got to call to them. You got to, like, it's you pretty much have to call them in there. Like, you can spot and stalk in Colorado just about, because you can see a long ways in a lot of places. But out there, you can't see nothing.
No way it's harder, though.
I don't think it's harder. No. Nah. But
it may be more physically demanding.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's rainforest. It's thick woods. But I'm used to that. I grew up in thick woods.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even talk about the other spot I went to. So I drove down to a food plot that's on a pipeline. Drove it into the pipeline.
We were bouncing back
and saw a deer.
You got to keep it together, Zach.
I saw a deer and put my binoculars on it, and it was a buck. And I got really excited and put a camera down there. But anyway, Roosevelt elk. Yeah, I like those.
Yeah. I would say another thing that would be, so if we're going to talk about hunts that I know I'll never get to go on or I'll never be able to kill one, I would love to kill one of those big freaking grizzlies up in Alaska. Awesome.
All you gotta do is
I don't care. Like, I'll go, like, if I had the opportunity to go bear hunting, like black bear hunting, I would do it. That's not on my upper tier list.
It is on my
list. It's in my top 20, but it's not in my top 10.
It's definitely in my top 5, dude. I want to kill a black bear so bad.
But when you go up to Alaska to go kill one of these things, you're talking about like a $70,000 hunt.
It depends.
To do it right, it's over $50,000.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah. I won't ever be able to achieve that unless y'all start buying a lot of hats.
Buy every hat, and then we're going to be back order for a few months, and then buy every hat 10 more times. And then buy every hat 10 more times. But anyway, so... Dude, one of my bucket list things is to kill a quote-unquote southern black bear. And I'm not saying, like, Florida. Like, I would love to kill a Florida bear, but that's super illegal right now. But the only reason I want to do that is because I grew up in Florida, and it's, like, part of my culture.
What's 15 to 20 in prison?
15 to 20.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you get out, get out by the time you're 45.
I'll pass.
That's still golden years.
I'll just wait until the black bears in Florida kill enough liberals to where they say, hey, we need to do something. Because that's what happened a few years ago. We had a hunt, and then they got mad again. But anyway, like Arkansas. Like, my family is from Arkansas, and there's, like, a big population in the area that my family is from of bears. I would love to go kill, like, I think north of Georgia has a season, too.
There's only been one bear I've ever wanted, like, I've ever cared about killing, and it's dead now because, they don't live that long.
Yeah.
Because it happened when I was like a year old. It was the one that almost killed my dad.
Yeah.
We'll have to get him on the podcast one time.
Talk about that.
We'll talk about archery hunting techniques. And
we'll get him fired up about that.
And talk about bear stuff.
But I really want to kill a bear. But the reason why I think this is a more in-depth conversation is because for me, if it is legal and I can kill it, and it's not behind a fence, I want to kill it. Like, if we're talking about dream hunts, I have, like, probably 24 bucket list items. And some of them are fairly cheap. Like, there's, like, the sandbar deer hunt down there in Panama City, wherever it is, just south of Panama City, that sandbar deer hunt is high on my list.
Those Indian elk?
Yeah, basically. Dude, I found a company on Instagram the other day. They sell sandbar deer calls. And I don't know if anybody's ever called to a sandbar deer on that island.
I'm sure somebody's tried it.
Somebody, but maybe we can go down there. Because there's like a 2% success rate down there.
Yeah, 2% sounds pretty high.
Yeah, it's super low for success rate. But
it's a place they give out, was it 100 tags every year?
I think it's 100, 150 tags.
It's like, somebody may kill one every other year.
No, I mean, I think they kill two, like, or three, I'm talking, or four, like, every year.
Good ones.
Yeah, good stags or whatever they call them. I don't even know what my, like, absolute bucket list. I tell you, one of my bucket list things almost got knocked off this past year. A couple months ago, actually.
A Merriam's
got.
Are you putting an S at the end of that?
Did you know that the name of the turkey is actually Merriam's?
With an S.
That is singular. Yeah, yes. Like, if you talk A, it is a Merriam's turkey.
Now,
or multiple Merriam's turkeys.
That is a very realistic goal. I would, like, throughout my life, I would love to achieve the turkey slam.
Yeah, just a grand slam. Like, that's all. I want to kill, I think it's the
North American one. I
think it's a royal slam is when you kill the golds too.
What are they?
That's the ones in Mexico.
Mexico's not that far.
Yeah, the not the oscillating ones that look like a peacock, but they look like a bigger Merriam's.
I know where you can kill a peacock.
At your brother-in-law's house?
Probably frowned upon, yeah, but anyway. But I would definitely like to do that slam.
Oh, yeah. Dude, turkey hunting is in my blood. I love turkey hunting. And it was just an experience and a half to be in a place that had Merriam's. And I saw more turkeys just driving around than I've seen. Like, one afternoon of driving around, I saw more turkeys than I've seen probably my entire life around here. It's insane up there. I don't know how we didn't kill one. Probably just because I suck, but
you're a terrible hunter, Zach.
Sure.
Terrible.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. But I honestly, if you're wanting to go after a slam, that is the easiest one to achieve.
That's probably the most achievable.
When I say the easiest one to achieve, I'm talking for the working class guy.
Oh yeah,
because it's because turkey hunting is cheaper than going whitetail hunting. Yeah, stuff
see, like. Excluding my like just the fun stuff I did, because I like when we went to Washington, I did a lot of other stuff just other than hunt. But like if I flew up there specifically to hunt, I think I spent less than $500, and I flew literally across the country. So I mean, it's like a very achievable goal to kill a turkey. Well, one of my other goals, speaking of this, it's a very achievable goal to kill all four subspecies, all four main subspecies of the wild turkey. And but like one of my goals that I'm gonna achieve one day is the 49. The U.S. Super Slam. I'm going to kill a turkey in all 49 states that have turkeys. I've already got one knocked off, so I'm on my way.
48 more to go.
Hey, that's a lot less than 49.
That seems like a lot.
Oh, yeah. They
how many people have done that?
Like 20, I think. Maybe 40, I don't know. Not many.
How much money do they have?
I mean, Penhody Project's done it like five times, and I don't think he's loaded.
Four or five times?
Yes. But also...
So, when you say that four or five times, are you talking about he went through all 49 states four or five times?
Yes. You got to think
How do you have the...
The dude is wired different. Like, before he had Penhody Project, this Dave Owens, if you don't know.
I mean, you can't do that in a year.
No. But the thing is, you got to think, when he was, like, growing up, he, like, almost every job he took, he told him, hey, before you hire me, I have to take off 3 months every year. He would take off every job he's ever had, or I don't know if this is true, but most jobs.
File for bankruptcy every year.
Most jobs that he's had, he has taken off from, like, March through May every year. Like every, I don't know how long it's been. I don't know how old he is. I don't know, whatever. He may not have done it four or five times. I know he's done at least three. And you got to think, like, if you watch his videos, I think he hunts like 12 states a year. He hunted Hawaii this year.
Yeah, but that's a lot.
I mean, 15 years to do it three times, 12 states a year, kill a turkey in all 12 states.
That's 48 turkeys a year.
You also got to think that he...
That's 48 turkeys.
In 3 years?
In 3 years.
He's probably kills more than that, because he kills a few in each state, most states.
No, I'm not talking about... I'm talking about per state. That's insane. Anyway,
you also
we
gotta
need to
think
stop.
About, like, this dude, like, he is... more in tune with how turkeys act than anybody I've ever met or heard of. Like, he's just insane the way he can talk to turkeys and all that. But anyway, Turkey Slam, that's up on my list. Like, my thing is, like I mentioned, if it is legal and it's not behind a fence, it's something I want to kill.
Yeah.
What's your opinion of Africa hunting?
I would go do it. It's not my top. Like, there's so many things in the U.S. that I would rather go hunt.
Exactly.
But I would go, I think, once at least. Like if somebody hit me up and said, hey, I'll pay. I've already paid for this trip. Just go with me.
Yeah.
I would go. Like, without a second thought. I'd quit work to go.
See, you know? I'm not.
But, I mean... I would go do it. Like,
the only problem I have with African hunting is, other than the money, because it's a lot of money.
I mean, it's there's not fences, but
there are fences.
I mean,
that's what people.
Well, there may be fences, but
that's what people don't think about. Just there's only one country in Africa that has true 100% wild free range hunting.
I would love.
And it costs three times more.
I'd really want to kill a lion. I mean, that's a good way to get famous, dude, apparently.
Simba, dude. No, you would kill...
Mufasa. What was that lion that they that dentist got in trouble with? I would love
he
to
didn't
do that.
Know.
I would take on that burden like crazy. If I killed one and they gave me a hard time.
I mean, but, yeah, but...
I mean, I love
the only thing about lions.
They're amazing animals, but I would love to have one in my living room.
The only thing about lions, though, is like the normal form of conservation for most animals is like you kill the dominant animal or whatever. Like you want to kill the biggest, oldest buck in the woods because it has the least impact on the population, mm-hmm. as far as whitetail and like mule deer and stuff go. If you kill the biggest, baddest, oldest male lion, every time you kill the biggest, baddest, oldest lion, you can completely disrupt the pride and cause like 10, 15 lions to die. Yeah. That's the only reason I wouldn't want to hunt a lion. It's okay, just because
I'm fine with a small one.
Yeah, okay.
I'm fine with a small one.
It's just
because no matter how small, as long as it's not a cub, no matter how small it is,
as long as it has
when
a
you
mane
put
in
it in your living room, people are going to be like, whoa.
You got a lion, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as it's got a mane.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I want that thing flowing kind of like a mullet, you know?
Exactly.
But, go ahead. What was another other than a turkey?
Oh, like I'm just saying, like Africa hunting, like I don't know, it's just weird. Like I wouldn't pay for it.
I would rather do other things.
Yeah.
If I'm going to spend, so by the time you go to Africa and fly there, then kill your animals and then fly back and then have your hides sent through quarantine. And then sent back over here. You have $5,000 to $6,000
just in taxidermy.
I'm talking about just your hides quarantining back over here. I'm not counting taxidermy right now. You have $5,000 to $6,000that trip.
No, that's not even including the guide fees, dude.
No, yeah, I'm talking about flying over there. The initial hunt's roughly $2,000.
Yeah, just to get in a place.
And then come back over here, and if you want to keep your hides, you only get to eat a little bit of the meat.
While you're there, you can't even take it back.
And you're talking about $6,000, that's base charges done.
And then if
you get get your animals taxidermy and stuff like that, do you know what I could do? So just say all said and done, you're in $15,000.
15 to 20, yeah.
Yeah. You know what type of hunting here I can do for that?
You know what you can do for that?
A lot.
You can do 2 caribou trips.
You can do 2 caribou trips.
You can do four.
You can do 15 elk hunts if you do it right.
You can do 4 road system caribou hunts.
I don't know what a road system
is. So the difference is a caribou hunt, like I think it's about $10,000 to do a caribou hunt where they fly you into some really remote area. Because bush planes, as small of a plane as they are expensive. Yeah. So if you hunt, like let's say you fly to Alaska and then you rent a car and you drive over to a chunk of public land and you walk off in the woods and you hunt caribou, that only costs about $4,000 to $5,000. Only. I say only. But if you fly, that tacks another $5,000 onto your trip.
Yeah. So... I mean, I don't plan to go anytime soon. Maybe that would probably be a really good hunt
for 500,000 subs.
No,
so get us there and we'll do it.
No, what I'm saying is quite honestly, and this isn't ageism, but that's probably a really good hunt for somebody that wants to go hunting that's over the age of 55 or 60.
Yeah, because you don't really have to do it.
It's not very physical. I guarantee you're gonna have fun.
Oh yeah.
But I think that's an older person's game.
It's a lot less.
First physical. Of all, you gotta have the money to do it, so that makes it an older person game as well.
Yeah, unless we hit 500 subs before then. So 500K subs. So hit that subscribe button.
Yeah, and so figure out how to word this question. What's a hunt that isn't on top of your list, that isn't in the top five, that you would love, not even top 10, that you would love to do, but you're not going to do it, more than likely, that is achievable, but you would go on if the right situation come up.
That's an interesting series of questions.
That is a very interesting series of questions. The only reason I ask that is because I have an answer to mine.
Go ahead and give your answer while I'm thinking about it.
Saskatchewan deer hunting.
Oh, dude, that's a good one. That is a really good one, because my dad has always talked about he wants to go up to somewhere in Canada and kill a 300-pound whitetail.
That would be, I got the rack size on them are awesome, but I would love to kill a 300-pound whitetail.
Some of them things get up to 400 freaking pounds, dude. Yeah. That'd be a good one.
That's why. Yeah. That's why I did the word that question properly.
Yeah, because that's one thing I would love to do, but I'm not going to seek it out. I'm not going to save up for 5 years to go on a Saskatchewan whitetail hunt.
No, I'd rather go on five five Midwest hunts, honestly. Yeah.
But a 350-pound whitetail, dude, that'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I think my answer to that would either be that or an oscillated turkey down in Mexico, Yucatan Peninsula, one of them peacock turkeys. Because that's not something I necessarily want to seek out. But if the situation arose where four of my buddies were going on that, and they're like, hey, we need a fifth, and it'll knock down the price by a grand.
So that's so if you had all 48 states done, that'd be your 50th stop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I might do it before then, but it's just different. I don't know. I would really love, I think, it sounds kind of weird, but one of my top hunts that it's kind of similar. I definitely want to go on it, before I get old. But, I don't know. I really want to go hunt coos deer. And that's not something a lot of people really seek out, but it's a Western hunt. It's really cool. You gotta spot and stalk and all that stuff, but also it's 80-pound deer, and they have really tiny antlers, but also they're really freaking cool deer.
So what seems in your eyes, what do you think the funnest hunt you could go on that you probably won't go on? When I say probably, I guess it's all possible. But what would be that animal that you can see yourself having fun chasing, but you probably won't do it?
A Fognak Island Roosevelt elk. Not necessarily a Roosevelt elk, but one on a Fognak Island, because they grow to 1,500 pounds, and there's also 2,000-pound brown bears there, grizzly bears, whatever. And it just seems like everybody who's ever been on that hunt. Now, this is the same hunt that Steven Ranella got attacked by a bear. His whole crew got attacked by a 2,000-pound bear.
Charged.
They got attacked. Wow. This is the hunt. They never filmed this because they were stopping down eating lunch. And there's a whole series of podcasts about it. But they got a bear ran into the group of them. They all scattered. And somebody hit him with a trekking pole, and then somebody rode the bear down the mountain somehow.
That sounds fun.
I mean, it sounds...
That's a story to write home about.
That sounds long-term fun. You're scared out of your mind while it's happening, but then when you get home, you're like, dude, I got attacked by a bear, man.
That's kind of like that dude, even though it was small, that's kind of like that dude that killed that mountain lion
choked
with his bare hands.
He choked out a mountain lion.
If you killed a mountain lion that attacked you, that's one thing. But if you choked out a mountain lion, I'm talking about you. If you choked out a mountain lion with your bare hands, I don't know if we'd be friends anymore. Because there's no way I could put up with that. He's the type of guy, no matter what you do the rest of your life.
Yeah, but
no matter what achievement, he's gonna be like, Yeah, but you ever choked out a mountain lion?
You ever been charged by baby wolves? Because that happened.
Yeah.
Well, those were probably coyote folks, but whatever. I call them wolves.
He almost died from hypothermia going duck hunting.
I'm immune
to and every time I mention this cold, he says, man, you don't even know cold.
That's true. Yeah, we need to tell that story one day. But
yeah, that's a precursor
for another time.
But mine is, you're going to have to help me with the name of this animal, but I know what I want. those little freaking deer in Hawaii.
Axes?
No, the little ones.
I don't know if they're in Hawaii.
No, that... The thing John Dudley goes do. I knew the name of it before I asked the question. Now I can't remember it.
They hunt axes down there.
Yeah, but they're small and they're really fast.
They're axes. They're not small. Well, they just look small until you kill one and walk up on them and realize they're 250.
Well, I've never seen one in person, so I don't. They look small.
He goes hunts axes deer on Lanai with Joe Rogan.
Yeah,
it's axes.
Is it full on axes? Because
yes, but they.
It would be really cool to kill one in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. I want to go to Hawaii. I want to go to Hawaii and put in, like, 2 solid weeks hunting. Like, I want to kill a turkey.
I didn't prepare for this conversation at all, so y'all know.
I kind of didn't either, but I want to go there, kill a turkey, and then leave whatever island I kill a turkey on, because I think they're not on the same island. Go kill one of them. Go kill some. Dude.
So they're in 48 states. Turkeys are in 48 states?
49.
49, okay. So Alaska's there.
They're not in Alaska. Well, there's rumors. I've heard rumors.
Oh.
Don't tell anybody this. But I've heard rumors that it won't be very long before there's huntable populations in Alaska.
Oh. Well, of what type of bird?
Probably Merriam's.
Nah.
I don't know. I don't know what kind they are. They might be half barnyard.
So.
You know there's turkeys in New Zealand? Dude. We didn't even get into New Zealand. We're not going to talk about New Zealand.
I would love to go to New Zealand.
That's
probably, other than the United States, that's probably my dream destination hunt.
If I was going to travel somewhere outside of the United States to hunt, it would be New Zealand.
Yeah.
I'm not that much of a nerd, but I watched every Hobbit movie and I've watched every Lord of the Rings movie. Dude, be there we'll be in the Shire, dude, hunting chamois and red stag and that other thing that they hunt out there that looks kind of like a goat or something.
Yeah. So.
Have you never watched The Lord of the Rings?
No.
Have you ever watched The Hobbit?
No.
Oh, my God. Are we friends anymore?
Dude,
I'm a
straight Marvel and Star Wars fan. I don't pay attention.
I've never
to
even
Hobbit
watched Star
stuff.
Wars. But, dude. Have you the scenery in The Hobbit just makes you fall in love with New Zealand. And then when you realize that there's a whole crap ton of public land and there's cabins out there that you can just hike to and stay in these cabins and then walk out of there and go hunting. It's pretty wild.
Yeah. So we're getting pretty close to having to end this because we've been right at about an hour. I do have one more question for you.
Okay.
And this one's hypothetical completely.
Okay.
If you...
I am going to New Zealand one day, though.
We're going together.
If I go, it's up to you to get the money.
I will sell my truck to go. Yeah, anyway, so this is a stupid question, guys. But if you could hunt any animal that has been discovered... to this day that it can be extinct, what animal would you hunt?
I got three that I would love to hunt. They're all Ice Age animals because I'm really into anthropology and Ice Age and stuff like that and biology.
I got three too.
And I can imagine that these three are different than your three.
One might be
woolly mammoth.
No.
Dang it. Not woolly mammoth. Maybe woolly mammoth.
Oh, you just thought of one, so...
I just thought
name
of one.
Name four, then.
I'll name four. Woolly mammoth, saber-toothed tiger.
That was one of mine.
Okay. Yeah. Steppe bison, which is the really big Ice Age bison. It had, like, 6-foot wide horns or whatever.
Yeah.
And then It'd be a toss up between the long face or the cave bear, whatever they call them, and dire wolves. Okay. All Ice Age animals. I just want a time machine to fly back to the Ice
Age. I've heard all of them. I've heard of all of them. I've seen, you know, mock ups. So, but yeah. So a saber tooth tiger is one of mine.
Those would be awesome. Could you imagine, like, getting a time machine, going back there, killing a saber tooth tiger, and then bringing the whole one back and getting it mounted?
That'd be awesome.
It'd be one heck of a mount, dude.
It'd look just like that one off Ice Age, but yeah, meaner. Dude. Yeah. But number two would be, and I'm gonna mess this up slightly, because I don't know the actual name of it, but it is that really that the biggest deer to ever exist that was in the Ireland. They found
one. I think it's just the Irish moose.
It was closer related to a whitetail deer than it was a moose. But it's huge.
Is that the same?
They're bigger than moose.
Was that the one they found in the bottom of the lake? Like, a dude got snagged and pulled it up, and it was the antlers?
Yeah. Whatever.
I think it's just an Irish moose.
Yeah, but they say it's closer related to a whitetail,
yeah,
or a regular deer, even though moose, they're all related.
Yeah, they're like the Irish moose was like some type of stag that just happened to grow antlers that were platymated.
They were huge.
Palmated, if you're being serious, but platymated, if you know what I'm talking about. But yeah, they were, I think their antlers were like 10 feet wide.
Yeah, I think they get like 1,500 to 2,000 pounds, some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And the third is a velociraptor.
You know, they're really the size of chickens.
Yes, but that would be awesome, dude.
Like a chicken size. Could you imagine mounting a chicken sized dinosaur?
That'd be a bad A chicken, dude.
We need to just get a time machine one day and go back in time. Okay, the only thing is, what if we went back in time, you know, like the butterfly effect or whatever?
Did we just become best friends?
What if we went back in time and like did all this hunting or whatever? And we came back to the future and everything was in shambles because we killed like two animals.
Well, if you I'll get off on a tangent, but just because you change your past doesn't mean it changes the future. That past just becomes your new future. It doesn't change it. Everyone back to futures.
Okay, but like in the Flash, there was the flashpoint.
The false sense of time travel.
And then in
do you want to start a nerd podcast? Because I can go deep, son.
Once upon a time in Wonderland, they went back in time to try to stop the red haired queen or whatever from getting a big head or whatever. I don't fully remember everything, but you can't change the past. You can only learn from it. Is the quote from there? You can't change the past, you can only learn from it.
I would definitely try the lottery ticket thing, though.
Oh yeah, 100%. Oh yeah. If anybody's got a time machine, hit us up.
Yeah. Dude, there's a lot of animals I would love to kill. I'm surprised you didn't say the dodo bird.
I don't know, man. If I was gonna kill a bird,
it's chicken turkey-ish.
If I was gonna go back in time and kill a bird,
be a pterodactyl.
No, pterodactyl's not a bird. It's just a dinosaur that can fly.
Well, I would. It looked like a bird.
If I could go back in time to kill a bird, it would either be the eagle in New Zealand that could
literally. I was about to say, how dare you?
There's an eagle that used to live in New Zealand. They're extinct now. First off, there was a flightless bird that was bigger than an emu. It's like bigger than an ostrich or something.
So a T-Rex?
No, it was a bird. And it was a flightless bird. And it was big.
You're still describing a T-Rex.
And there it lived in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And
they may have too. I don't know.
There was an eagle that could come down and pick up like these like 200-pound birds. And they'd pick them up and fly them off and eat them. And the eagle had like a 15-foot wingspan or something. I don't even know if I'm talking in school or not. I don't know what I'm talking about, but really big eagles in New Zealand, that would be really cool. just to see one.
There's one. I forgot what the name of it was, but there's one of those in Greek and not Greek mythology. Well, it may be one in Greek mythology, but Norse mythology.
Norse.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Did I say North?
I think
Norse.
You said Norse.
Norse mythology. There's an eagle that's a god or something.
They may have flown down. I mean, the Vikings did do a lot on boats. They may have ventured down to New Zealand on accident.
Yeah, and Devil Tower Mountain is just a big tree. Just so y'all know.
Whatever, dude. Whatever.
If you want to go into a really big wormhole, Google that. But
thanks for listening this week, guys.
We got off on tangent there at the end, but it was fun.
Oh, yeah.
We do really appreciate y'all watching. Make sure you check out Native Sense at NativeSenseLSC.com. Check out our hats, link below. And then also check out Threads Custom Bowstrings.
And check out the hats. This hat, not this one, this hat.
Yeah. Maybe next year, something like this.
Maybe so.
By the way, if you still are listening, when we these hats, we're talking about a straw fishing hat.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm wearing.
Yeah. So, y'all stay tuned, and hopefully the next time you see us, we'll have a guest. If not, it'll be the next time. We're trying to get him up here. He's just spending too much time at the beach.
Yeah, he's been at the beach a lot.
Yeah.
So. And he hadn't even been fishing at the beach, man.
He ain't a real cowboy.
He ain't a real outdoorsman. Much.
He's killed more than us. Yeah, probably. But so. Y'all stay tuned, and we'll be back.
Always remember to live life 25 feet high.